either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa qala ya bani la tadkhulu min babin wahid wadkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqah. وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are downstairs and some that are listening at home, inshallah, just to continue with Surah Yusuf. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam gave permission to his sons and he allowed Binyamin to go with them, trusting them that they will look after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention here of one very important piece of advice given by Yaqub alayhi salam. He said to the children, Ya baniya la tadkhulu min babin wahid. Don't enter Egypt from one gate, from one door. Wadkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqa. But rather enter from the different gates of Egypt. Now, in those days what would happen is that a city was completely protected by walls fortified all around and you would have gates. So some gates by which a person could enter, and this way the city was kept in control and the enemies could not attack that city. So Misr also was like that. Egypt at that time. So he said to the children, all of you 11 brothers, don't enter from one door. Enter from many different doors. Now scholars have mentioned here, what is the wisdom for Yaqub alayhi salam to say this? It would have been easy for him just to say that all of you brothers enter together from one door. That is much easier. But the father was a Nabi. And the father's thinking is very different to how children would think. The father wants to give complete protection to the children. Now these were the sons of a Nabi. And for a man to have so many children and all of them boys, 11. 11 of them were young and extremely handsome. And of course they were of a foreign race. Now you have this new ethnicity, the makeup of Banu Israel. Yaqub alayhi salam, his title is Israel. So you have all the different children. And for them to enter from one gate, such handsome individuals, this would cause a scene. This would cause a scene. And so he wanted to protect the children from the evil eye. From the glance of the evil eye. People who come from the subcontinent, from India, Pakistan, we actually understand this concept as nazar ka lag jana. We say, nazar ka lag jana. And so this is the evil eye. Now, is the evil eye a reality? Is it the truth or superstition? What is it? And so our scholars have mentioned that without a doubt, it is the truth, it is a reality. There are many verses of the Quran that speaks about the evil eye. And there are also a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that actually give us reference and meaning to this topic and this subject. And so the evil eye is something that we need to understand, my respected brothers and elders, a very, very important topic. And that is why Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam said to the sons that don't enter from one area. Especially in the modern world today, we are a selfie culture. We are a selfie culture. And unfortunately, we like to show off. We don't realize that this showing off will take away from you many years of the life that Allah wants to give you. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, and I have here with me the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-aynu tudkhila ar-rajul al-qabr. Evil eye puts a man into the grave very quickly. The evil eye will put a man into the grave very, very quickly. Is it not coming downstairs? Not on, okay. Niche thi jo le ne are bhai, fits okay. Koi band karu? Ah, on kari karu. Masurat aavela shamichana. And so, the evil eye has the potential to actually harm someone in such a way that a person can even die. These are the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so what is the evil eye and how do we understand the evil eye? I have with me here two great scholars who give us the meaning and an understanding of what the evil eye is. One is Hafiz ibn Hajar Rahmatullah alayh, in his Sharah of Bukhari, Sharhul Bukhari, Fathul Bari, he has given us a definition, an explanation for us to understand how the evil eye works. This great muhaddis of his time, Hafiz ibn Hajar, says, the evil eye is a look of admiration at something. The evil eye is a look of admiration at something which is also mixed with envy, which is mixed with envy. It emits from an evil nature and causes harm to the one being looked at. And so the evil eye is actually the negative consequences of jealousy, the negative consequences of jealousy. So jealousy would mean that burning hatred that a person has in the heart, and somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is in the hands of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it some effect, has given it some effect. And how does it affect a person? Inshallah, we will look at that also. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has said something also very similar. He says, the evil eye is actually the effect exerted by the soul on the victim. By the soul on the victim. And he says, souls vary in their essence, powers, characteristics and qualities. Therefore, the soul of an envious person can harm a victim profoundly. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his Nabi to seek refuge from the evil eye. Now, There are three causes of the evil eye. One is admiration, amazement, and two is envy, and three is enmity. Envy, enmity, admiration, amazement. How does the evil eye actually work? And just to simplify it, our scholars have mentioned it actually emits from the eyes. But when we say it emits from the eyes, it's not like, you know, Superman, like a beam that comes out. You know, nobody does that. But it's actually, when we say the eyes, it is because the eye is something that is the first point of attraction. The eye is the first point of attraction or whatever. Whatever he sees, that is what his heart will feel. So that is why when we say it emits from the eyes, it actually means that it goes to the heart and it is transferred to the victim by way of the devil. It is transferred in such a way that when there is jealousy in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the shayateen some power and it energizes them and they have the ability to actually harm a person. They have the ability to actually harm a person. And so when a person has this jealousy inside, envy, hasad or whatever, then what happens, the scholars have mentioned that it is the jinn, the devils that take advantage, and what they do is because of that negative energy, it becomes easy for the devils to work on that person. That is why it also comes in the hadith that the waswasa of the shayateen enter into the heart when a person is not doing the dhikr of Allah. So when he's in the dhikr of Allah, it is very, very difficult for shaitan to penetrate. And so because dunya is darul imtihan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that everyone is tested. Everyone is being tested. So this is also one way, one tarteeb that harm can come to a person. And scholars have mentioned one is the evil eye and one is the pious eye. One is the pious eye. And the pious eye is the pious eye of the Buzrugan-e-Deen, of the Awliyaullah, the Shuyukh, and what we call Tawajjuh. What do we call that? Tawajjuh. That by remaining in the company of such people and being under their eyes, this also has an impact. And it turns the condition of a person to the positive way. It turns the condition of a person to the positive way. How? That is why Sahaba-e-Kiram ajma'in were considered to be the best of the best people. Why? Because the glance, the eyes of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell on their hearts. And their level of iman was such that nobody's iman can match their iman. It is impossible. Nobody can reach the rank and the position of a sahabi. Very simple, because they were directly under Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this mas'ala, insha'Allah, brothers, we will understand slowly. I know you get some people, especially in this modern world, that if we can't see, we will not believe. But actually, you know, that is not right at all. You can't see so many things. Protons, neutrons, electrons, so many stars in the world, galaxies. You can't see all that. Subhanallah. But insan believes. The jinn you can't see. The angels you can't see. Malaika you can't see. Everything that is in your blood you can't see with the naked eye. And so there is no logic for that. And so khair, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And so the evil eye is at three levels. The evil eye is at three levels. The first level of the evil eye is what we call hasad. We call that hasad. And hasad means that is what is mentioned in the Quran. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَد. That someone hates you so much that he does not tolerate the blessings that are given to you, and he wants to see the blessings taken away from you. Even if it means that this would happen by some means of harm. Some means of harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So this is also one form of nazar. And another nazar is nazar of himself, nafs. Sometimes a person can also harm himself. That he is admiring himself. I've got green eyes. I've got blue eyes. Looking in the mirror, oh, I look very smart. I look very handsome. And sometimes it happens, my respected brothers, he's admiring himself. Subhanallah. He's admiring his beauty, admiring his health. That is why we have to read the dua. Alhamdulillah, الذي زان بي ما شان لغيري. Alhamdulillah, الذي حسن خلقي فحسن خلقي. A lot of the times people have disease nowadays and problems is because whenever they go to the restaurant, before they say Bismillah and before they start to eat, they take a photo and let the whole world know where they are. So the whole world can do panchat. You see, the whole world must know where they are. Really, it's amazing. Why do you want to know the world? Why do you want to give information, unnecessary information to the people around you? Ajeeb. Especially ladies. They have this habit. Wait, don't eat. Cake banaya? Photo. Cake. Fruit salad? Wait. Cut. Photo. Chips banaya? Steak? Wait. So nice. Portuguese sauce. Wait. Some of you might have water in your mouth now. But you show it to the whole world. And what happens? People, when they see the picture, they make nazar, they put an evil glance on the food. What do they say? Subhanallah, this is, very tasty. They might not even say it, give you any dua. And this food becomes harmful. And you have your WhatsApp status. And your wife is very beautiful. So you want to show people what a beautiful wife I have. So you are holding your wife like this. And you have young girls, very beautiful. So you want to show your teenage girls. Ajeeb. And you want to show off that this is where I am. All of these things give people bimari. They don't realize. Allahu Akbar. There was a man, Muslim man in the gym. And when he came out from the gym, he was going back home with two of his friends, non-Muslims. And mashallah, this Muslim chap was strong and he drank this protein milkshake, whatever, 3 pints, one shot, very quickly. So the other two guys said, Wow, you're strong. Bas itna kehna, wow, you're strong. That's it. He went home. In the night, he could not even drink milk before he could go to sleep. But because he would sit in dars, he stayed in the company of the ulama, he knew what Islam is. And he's saying, all of a sudden, I can't even drink now. What's happening? And so quickly, obviously now he can't go to those who are not Muslims. And he says he remembered the amaliyat, what he had to do. And very, very quickly he sat down and started doing wird of ayatul kursi, kul huwallah, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, and started doing dam immediately on him. blowing on him immediately. And he says, as I finished my ruqya, my dam, alhamdulillah, I could drink everything thereafter. Everything. A lot of people have issues. A lot of people, all of a sudden things, something has happened to him in his lifetime and they don't know it. It just doesn't make sense. Wallahu alam. But this can also mean that people have a habit of showing off. You buy a beautiful car and you want to show off. And that is why, my respected brothers, our ulama say, if Allah has given you blessings, use it, mashallah. No harm. Have a beautiful house, have a lovely car. Having a beautiful house and having a lovely car and going out everywhere does not mean that this is haram for you. Showing off is not right. Showing off is not right. When you want to show the world will give you an evil glance. And this will probably take things away from you. So never ever, my respected brothers and elders, take my one mashwara. Try to be very, very private in this modern world. Very important. If you are rich and if Allah has given you wealth, don't talk about it to people. Not even your Muslim brothers. Don't. It is your very Muslim brothers that will have hasad with you. Oh, he's got money, huh? Don't. Kisi ko kuch nahi kehne ka. Keep everything very, very quiet. It is between you and Allah and your immediate family. And if we can do that, my respected brothers, inshallah, we will be safe. But it does not mean that we don't assist people and we don't help people. That should not be the case. Alhamdulillah, where you can help, you should also help. And then the third level of the evil eye is another. And another actually means this. The difference between hasad and another, in hasad, you hate that person and you want that blessing to be taken away from him. But the evil eye does not mean that you hate that person, and it may not also mean that you want that blessing to be taken away from him, but it is such that when you put your glance on somebody with admiration, amazement, or to envy, shaitan actually is given that power. The shaitan is actually given empowerment. And he is in that position to actually harm that person. And so that is why we have to be very, very careful in what we are doing. Now, in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about nadhar? Number one. And that is why in the Muslim part of the world, you will notice that hijab and the face veil was a common practice. What was it? The hijab and the face veil was a common practice. So if you look at the history of Islam, generally in Arabia also, and also in the Muslim world, it was only natural for a Muslim woman to wear an abaya and to cover her face. Because the real beauty is the face. And to give complete protection to the woman, to give complete protection to the lady. This was something also very, very important. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, and this hadith is in Bukhari. Allah's Nabi said, Al-aynu haqqun. That the evil glance is true. وَلَوْ كَانَ شَيْءٌ سَابِقُ الْقَدْرِ سَبَقَتِ الْعَيْنِ. If anything was to overtake your taqdeer, fate, qadr, it's the evil eye. So the evil eye is more common in the Muslim community than even sihr magic, because it's quite easy. What is it? It's quite easy. And in the hadith, Hazrat Asma bint Umais radiyallahu ta'ala anha has mentioned that when the children of Ja'far became ill We said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the children of Ja'far have been afflicted with nazar, with the evil glance. Shall we read ruqya? Shall we treat them with ruqya? Ruqya means healing with the Quranic ayats or the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Asma bint Umais, yes, continue, do your ruqya. This tells you that the evil glance is very, very easy for it to affect any individual, and also, alhamdulillah, it's not so difficult to cure it. It's not so difficult to cure it. Number three, mushrikeen of Makkah, when they saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his beauty, how handsome he was, the Quran says, وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, that the kuffar want to make sure you slip by their eyes. What did the kuffar want? The kuffar wanted to make sure that you slip. And this means through hatred. They wanted to harm Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by giving him an evil eye. So this is what they were doing. And they did everything. In the end, what they did is that they cast a magic spell upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why a magician, when he works with magic, it is usually 11 numbers. What is it? Or 11 knots. 11 knots. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, قُلْ عَوْذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ عَوْذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, to actually give shifa to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in the hadith, this is a very famous incident. A sahabi whose name is Amir ibn Rabi'ah. Amir ibn Rabi'ah was a young man, very handsome. So his friend was Sahal ibn Hanif. Sahal ibn Hanif. Now Amir ibn Rabi'ah actually came out, and of course it was hot, so he did ghusl. When he was coming out, the top part of his body was exposed. He was a young man, mashallah, very handsome. So when his friend Sahal ibn Hanif saw him, that mashallah, so tough, so young, and mashallah, you know, this is not something that we had seen, that this is how my friend looks like. And so he just looked at him and admired his beauty. What did he do? Admired his beauty, bas. And it comes in the hadith that when Sahal ibn Hanif went away from Amir ibn Rabi'ah, he fell ill. Immediately he fell ill. And nobody knew about this, that what is happening. And then this matter came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi said that somebody has put nazar on him, the evil glance on him. So who was the last person? It was Sahal ibn Hanif that came. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that why does one Muslim brother want to kill another Muslim brother? Why does one Muslim brother want to kill another Muslim brother? And so we will talk about how we can be protected, what are the symptoms, inshallah, after a few minutes. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell Sahal ibn Hanif to go and wash his body parts. You know, like how you do wudu? To wash his body parts. And then the water that is collected from that wudu, from washing the body parts, then tell him that his brother Amir ibn Rabi' must do ghusl with this. Now this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So Hazrat Amir ibn Rabi' then did ghusl with that water, and it comes in the hadith that instantly he was healed. Immediately he was healed. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned how nazar, the evil glance, works. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi was an incredible alim. Just like the other scholars, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, masters of hadith. Of course, we have our scholars now, but Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, nazar means when you shoot the evil eye, it goes towards the target. The evil glance is like when you shoot an arrow. And when you shoot an arrow, it is going straight to the target. But with nazar, what happens? Sometimes the evil glance will hit the target and sometimes it will miss the target. So how will it hit the target and how will it miss the target? Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi says that when a person is in the habit of protecting himself from nazar, all the nazar, the evil glances, will be of waste. It will not hit the target. But when a person does not protect himself, then he will be a victim of the evil glance. So how are we going to protect ourselves? Inshallah, we will look into that. Hazrat Umme Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this young girl and Allah's Nabi looked at her face and said, come here. And looked at her face and the face was yellowish. The face was very yellowish. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this girl is suffering from the evil glance and ruqya must be done. Read the ruqya. A person can actually harm himself. A person can actually harm himself. That is why, my respected brothers, even when you look at your own beauty, always say, Alhamdulillah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And sometimes that person can harm also that person who is beloved to him. A lot of the times you will see that we want to put photos of our children. Now babies are very beautiful, aren't they? Very beautiful. Very good looking, mashallah, very smart. And now you put the photo for them everywhere. And so now from the hundreds that have seen the photos, someone might put an evil glance on that child, on that baby, and you are the cause of it. Sometimes the husband might even put an evil eye on the wife, and you will say to the wife, oh, you are beautiful. Oh, you are beautiful. I hope you people say that. Some of you look like as if you've got a question mark on your face. Huh? Ye kya hai bhai? Remove that question mark. That is from shaitan. Your wife is Allah who has chosen her for you. Love them. And it is the sunnah and very important that you say this, that I love you. Alhamdulillah. Ya habibati anti jamila. Ya mashallah, you know. You are very, very beautiful. But when you say that, you must say, Masha Allah, Allah give you barakah. So you are not putting an evil glance on her. And if the husband is good looking and very, very handsome, and the wife says, oh, you're looking very smart, then you also say, Masha Allah. She should say, may Allah give you barakah. May Allah give you barakah in the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. These are the things that are very, very important. Now there is a hadith in Bazaar. Ajeeb hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in this hadith which is narrated in Bazaar, most of the people who die is the decree of Allah and most of them die because of the evil eye. Can you imagine? Allah's Nabi is saying that most of the people that are sleeping in the graveyard is because of the evil eye. And we don't even realize that. So we should be protecting ourselves very much. There was this lady, she had pain in her joints, like arthritis. So much pain. She went to the doctors did blood tests, everything. But medically, the doctors didn't know anything. What can be happening? So then she went to the Rukya specialist and subhanallah, Rukya was done. And this is what we call recitation of the verses of the Quran and a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by blowing it and by doing dam, sometimes it is prayed in the water and you drink it, and sometimes directly, or sometimes that you do ghusl with it. And what happens is that immediately she was healed. All the pain in the body also left her. So now, my respected brothers and elders, what is the treatment? How do we actually protect ourselves from this? Very simple. If a person is just to practice the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam daily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshaAllah most of the time will protect him. Most of the time he will be protected. If someone is affected by the evil eye, now what are the symptoms of the evil eye? What are the symptoms of the ayn? How do you feel? Scholars have mentioned sometimes your skin color will become pale. It will become pale. You'll see that the person becomes pale. And then there is this, you will feel very tight in your chest, as if there's something that is holding you back. Tightness in the chest. Number three, scholars have mentioned extreme heat in the body. That he feels that there's too much heat in my body. And some of the ulama have mentioned pins and needles. There is a lot of pins and needles. Number five, yawning excessively. Even when he has slept properly, when he is not tired, he is still yawning all the time, yawning. This is also alamat of nazar. And sometimes, without a reason, just tears coming out of the eyes. Tears flowing from the eyes. And number seven, this is quite common, the heart beating, the palpitations are very, very fast. Very, very fast heart beatings. This is also nazar. And lastly, ulama have mentioned that you wake up in the morning, you see bruises on your body, but you can't verify that what happened, you were not hurt, but you still see bruises everywhere, or bruises in the body. So this at the first level could also mean that you are a victim of nazar, and treatment should be done. There is no harm in that. And it doesn't take long, because ruqya is just recitation of the Quran, and it is the most powerful way. Not only Muslims, you won't believe it, that even non-Muslims want to do ruqya and they come. Even non-Muslims believe in that. And in some parts of the world, when they buy a house, the first thing they do is they call a Mauli Sahib to do dam and the recitation of Suratul Baqarah in the house. And these are non-Muslims. Subhanallah. And so, what is the treatment? Number one, if you feel that there is nazar, our scholars unanimously agree that the first thing we do is the treatment given to us by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you know that person is the person who has done nazar on you, then politely, I know he might feel offended, but you have to explain to him that by, you know, sometimes it might not be your intention, but it can happen. But I feel that when you said this to me, you know, my condition has become very, very weak. So I want you to wash your hands and your body parts and your face and give me that water so I can wash my body entirely. And this will immediately free you from nazar. So now when you talk to somebody politely, inshallah ta'ala, they will not take offense. Okay. But if you don't know who is the person who has done nazar to you, then what should we do? That is why the sunnah amal is that after fajr and after maghrib, read three times kul huwallah, three times kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, and three times kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, after fajr and after maghrib, and blow it on your entire body. Very simple surahs of the Quran. Kul huwallah, kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, and kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, three times. And in fact, if you feel that you are still in that position, not too well, then get into the habit of reading kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, kul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, kul huwallah after every namaz. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my ummati should read ayatul kursi after farz namaz. Five times a day. How many times? Five times a day. Including when he goes to also sleep. Okay. And then, this is something very, very important. The children that we see, mashallah, young, very beautiful children, the father or the mother, this was the practice of Nabiyye Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would call Hazrat Hassan and Hussein, who are very, very handsome and very beautiful. And sometimes he would put his hands on their heads and he would say, "U'idhukuma bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri kulli shaytanin wa hammatin wa min kulli aynil lamma." And he said that this dua, ruqya, was read by my father Ibrahim alayhi salam on his two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. And I am reading on Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. And our scholars had the habit that when we have our children, to actually read this dua and to make dam on them so that you are protecting the children. Especially in the night when they go to sleep in the room. Very, very important. Now, there was an incident where a girl was actually affected by a minor effect of the jinn, and the amil, the person who was doing the treatment, could not understand that what is happening here, you know, all the amals are being done. Then he actually came to the room to see, and in the room there was one small picture of a human being with a face that was open, and he said, because of this, the shayateen can have an easy entry into the room. It blocks away the rahmat and the malaika to come in the room. So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. And so this dua is very important. Allah's Nabi would also blow it and do dam on himself. Allahumma inni a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri kulli shaytanin wa hammatin wa min kulli aynil lam. The translation is, I seek refuge with your perfect words. Can you imagine what a powerful dua this is? That you are seeking refuge with the Quran. I seek refuge with your perfect words from every devil. Shaitan hates this when you read this dua. And from all things that are poisonous and harmful in this dunya, animals, pests, and from every evil, harmful, envious eyes. So by reading this, really a person is completely protected. Once Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Nabi of Allah, do you feel pain? And he said, yes. So he read this ruqya. Bismillah arqiq min kulli shay'in yu'dhik. In the name of Allah, I pray over you for ruqya from everything that harms you. Bismillah arqiq min kulli shay'in yu'dhik. Wa min sharri kulli nafsin wa aynin tashniq. Wallahu yashfiq. Bismillahi arqiq. This was one wazifa that was read by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so if brothers can also read this, inshaAllah ta'ala, it will be something that will be very, very helpful. So basically, my respected brothers, it's very, very simple. Nowadays, ruqya, you will find that also in books. Alhamdulillah, booklets. You will find it also in the internet, mashallah. All the ayats of the Quran, verses that you need to read. And if you feel that somebody has put an evil glance on you, then immediately start doing amal on this. Read the ruqya and continuously read ayatul kursi, Qul huwallah, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falak, and qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Insha'Allah ta'ala, this will give you complete protection. So many times, husband and wife, they get married. MashaAllah, best couples. Best couples. And there is someone who has put an evil eye on them. MashaAllah, look at them, so happy. Look at them, what they are doing. They are always together. And now all of a sudden, everything changes. Now there is fighting. Now there is this. A person came to me 2-3 days ago. He says, Mauli Sahab, you know, my wife, she's the best woman that I can marry. But then all of a sudden, her character just changed. I don't even know. Like a complete different woman. Her character has changed. So remember, the evil eye can happen to even relationships. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So even if somebody is going to praise you, then you must remind him, bhai, if you're praising me, say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, say mashaAllah, say tabarakallah, say mashaAllah. Don't be shy and make sure that these are the words that actually come out from his mouth. And inshallah, by doing this, we will also be protected. Higher than the evil eye is what we call sihr, and that is magic. And magic is something that is directly in connection not with one jinn, but a team of jinns that dedicate themselves only to harm you. Only to harm you. And that is why, what is this area called? What is it called? Mihrab. Why is it called mihrab? In the Arabic language, harbun, harbun means the battlefield, war. What is it? A war. So, this is the place of war. Mihrab is the place of, it's a battlefield. Harbun means to fight. So what happens is that the shaitan does not like the Muslimin that stand together and they pray. And so he is in the front, trying to distract, trying to disturb, trying to do something that will take the attention away of the Muslims that are actually performing their salah. That is why it's very, very important we understand that this position is also very, very difficult. Shaitan is always there. That is why it's very difficult to concentrate in your salah. Two things are very hard. Remember that much. Everything else, tasbih to a degree is easy. But two things shaitan does not allow you to do. One, salah. What is it? Salah. He will try to delay. Okay, later, until it's qaza. And when it's qaza, you want to pray it fast. And number two is Quran. When it's time for Quran, you'll feel sleepy. Yawning. See, yawning, sleepy. You can't read the Quran. He will try. And he will now remind you of your itinerary, the things that you were wanting to do, that you have not done. He will say, how can you pray Quran? You've got so much work to do at home. Your friend, you have to go and see him. And then he'll become so, he says, don't pray Quran. Haji Sahib is ill. You will get more sawab to go and look after somebody who's ill. So now when you are going to go to see someone who's ill, he will try to divert you so that sawab is taken away and this sawab is also taken away. That is how shaitan works. So we have to first block the doors of shaitan. That is why the Quran says that when you recite the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, that for everything there is Bismillah. But when you read the Quran, you say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is ruqya. Why? Because the shaitan tries his best to stop you from the recitation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.